I'm going to go through this PowerPoint here this evening, and then also give you an opportunity, if perhaps you're going through some of these things and there's a question that would pop up in your mind, feel free at the end we'll give you an opportunity. If you have any questions pertaining to VCY, we will try to answer those best we can. We do appreciate the invitation that we had from Pastor Brown to come and speak in the services this morning and make the presentation here tonight. I introduced my wife this morning, Faith, for those who were not here this morning. She's in the back row there with our son, Matthew. And we actually have been with VCY. We moved up in January of 1985. And last Lord's Day was actually our 38th anniversary with VCY, serving 38 years. We thank the Lord for some 30-plus years that we had with Vic Eliason ministering together. The Lord called him home in 2015. But moved up from Kansas City. I had been involved in a Christian radio station in Kansas City, Missouri, and had received college training in broadcasting and pastoral studies, and felt the Lord directing me in the area of Christian broadcasting, and so had started that in 1981, started working part-time at a Christian broadcast station, and then in January of 85, learned about a new station that VCY was putting on the air, WVCX in Toma, Wisconsin. And just 2 months after it came on the air, we moved up to the Toma area to be involved in seeing the operations go smoothly at that station. Is there anybody that has never heard of VCY before? Okay, just these two in the front row. Very good. How many have listened to VCY at least 5 years? At least five. Okay, that's about everybody. How many at least 10 years? 10 years or more. Okay, many of you. Well, you are no doubt familiar with many of the things I'll be talking about this evening, but just want to recall some of these with you this evening. And the big question is, how did this all begin, this ministry, where we are today? And so we'll be looking at that here briefly this evening. The founder of our broadcast ministry, Vic Eliason, here you see him with his wife, Frida, always called it God's continuing miracle. And would always have just a volume of stories and testimonies to share and how God was at work in the ministry of VCY for many, many years and how things came about. But it's obvious to see just through some of the stories that indeed is God's miracle, how it all transpired, many miracles along the way. VCY actually began in 1954. It was incorporated in 1954 as Milwaukee Youth for Christ. And there was a lot that was taking place. It was a ministry that was headed up by a man named Russ Johnson. And Russ was involved in Bible Club program for teenagers. And many special events was going on, but it was in 1959 that he contacted young Vic Eliason at that time. Vic was ministering in a church in Des Moines, Iowa, and Russ asked him to come up and help the Milwaukee ministry of Milwaukee Youth for Christ. Well, Vic moved up in September of 1959 and began active Bible club ministries. He was overseeing some 20 Bible clubs a week. They'd meet at 7 in the morning, they'd meet at 12 noon, some clubs, they'd meet after school, and then also an early evening Bible club for teenagers as well. On top of that, they had two Singspirations every month and two rallies every month. It was a very busy time for this Bible club ministry. And he was very active in that, and shortly after Vic came up to the Milwaukee area, Russ Johnson announced that he was going to be leaving, and Russ moved to Des Moines, Iowa, and where Vic had come from, and Vic was asked to be the interim executive director at that time. But Russ left and said, "Vic, if there's anything you need, anything happens, just let me know, and I'll be glad to talk with you." Well, one day, the treasurer came to Vic and said, "We have $1,800 in bills and $5 in the checkbook. How do we handle this?" Vic got an idea. "I know what I'll do. I'll call Russ Johnson." And so he gave Russ Johnson a call in Iowa, and he said, "Russ, you said I could call if we needed anything." And he said, "We got a problem. We have $1,800 in bills, and we have $5 in the checkbook. What do I do?" Russ said, "Get used to it. Get used to it." And then after he laughed, he says, "No," he said, "what you need to do is you need to get a letter out to the donors, to print a letter and to let them know what the need is and to invite them to participate and give toward the need. Now, keep in mind, this is pre-radio. You could not go on the radio and say, we've got a need here today. Instead, you have to do the printing press and do it. So Vic went and started up the printing press, and he actually printed the letters, got them all ready in the envelopes, ready to go out, and went to the treasurer and said, got the mailing all ready. We need $25 for postage. Treasurer said, you forget what we mentioned. I mentioned to you, we've only got $5 in the checkbook, and we don't have $25. So they prayed together, and that God would somehow provide the need. Vic went back to his office, and a short time later, the telephone rang. And it was a lady from West Allis, Wisconsin, said, Mr. Eliason, do you need any money today? He says, as a matter of fact, we had just finished praying about a particular need. And she says, well, the Lord's been speaking to my heart and have felt led to send you a check for $25 to your ministry. But she said, I don't have transportation. I have no means of getting it to you. Vic said, I'll be right over. And he went and picked up that $25 check and indeed saw God's miracle underway, even as he provided for that, what we would call a simple $25 need. This is inside the office there at Milwaukee Youth for Christ at 2631 West State Street. And it was there. This is where they held some of the Bible Club ministry and other events that was going on. And while these Bible Clubs were going on, there were three youth that came up to Vic and said, how about we start a Christian radio program? Yeah, I've got a microphone. Somebody else, I've got a turntable. I've got records. And sometimes I take kids through a tour at VCY, and they said, what's a record player? You know, what is a record? So, yes, we had a turntable and other means to play that. And Vic says, what we need to do is put together a pilot program. And we really want this program that we want to get on an FM station. There were about three FM stations at the time. And so they put together their 15-minute program, and they went out to each of these stations. And as they let the program director hear their pilot program, he said, I don't know where I'd put something like that. And everybody turned them down, kind of discouraged. They went back to their offices right here, and they prayed. And they said, God, if you want us to have a Christian radio program, you're going to have to make it happen. They put things away on the shelf. Exactly 5 days later, a man walked into this office and said, would anybody like some free radio time? Well, Vic heard this from behind the desk, a little cubicle area. He got up and he said, who are you and where did you come from? His name was John Harold Clark, and he had mentioned that he had been working for a radio station in Milwaukee and was moonlighting at a brand new FM station, WBON 107.7. And the manager had asked for him to do a sacred music program, and he said, I'd like you to take the theme from this album. And he handed the album to John Harold Clark, and across the title of the album was the word unworthy. John said, I'm a backslidden Baptist. He said, I've been up here. I've been doing things on the radio I should not be doing. And he felt convicted in his heart. And so he said, I can't do this radio program. I have been driving up and down the streets of Milwaukee looking for some ministry to give this radio time to, and I'm going to go back to Atlanta and get my life straightened out with God. Vic said, what time are we talking about? Well, it's going to be a half-hour day and an hour on Sunday. When would we begin? You start this Monday. And that was the start of VCY Radio, May 15th of 1961, with a program that came from that album. And the theme that you hear, matter of fact, the name of the program was called Sacred Stylings. The music that we hear for Sacred Stylings was that original theme music that had been utilized for that broadcast back in 1961. This little office, the very spot where he offered that free radio time, is where they had prayed just 5 days earlier. God, if you want us to have a Christian radio program, you're going to have to make it happen. Things were going good for 8 months at WBON. Until they got a program director who no longer was sympathetic with the kind of programming that this Milwaukee Youth for Christ was producing. And after 8 months, the new program director said a half hour of religion is too much for any one day, and he was putting them off the air. That was going to be the end of it. It was a big letdown. I mean, they had started to build an audience after 8 months with this radio broadcast, and they were kind of discouraged again. Well, Vic had contracted the flu that weekend and stayed home in bed as his wife, Frida, went off to church. And later when he woke, he turned on the radio, looking at FM stations, looking for some kind of religious program that might minister to his needs at the time. And he stumbled on a new radio station, or a signal there, out of Wauwatosa, 103.7 WTOS. They didn't have a Christian program on, but it was a new station. And so as he listened, he got an idea, and he called the radio station. And there was a man there by the name of Mr. Bob Perthel who answered the phone, and Vic said that he had been doing a program on another station that was no longer going to be available, and asked, "I wonder if YFC would be able to buy a block of radio time, like 8 hours a day, 7 days a week, for $500 a month." And the man, Mr. Perthel, was rather frustrated because he had started the station and didn't have the personnel that he had needed, the limited staff. He said, "I will sell you that time for $5 a month, 7 days a week, 8 hours a day. You'll have 4 p.m. to midnight," but he said, "you're going to have to provide the manpower to run the station. You're going to have to provide the individuals to do that." And that's when Vic began to feel better and indicated that that he would come over that afternoon and draw this up. Well, went over to meet with Mr. Perthel and indicated as he went there that this is something that would have to go before the board of directors. Now, this radio station was tiny. It was in the basement of a gasoline station. The tower was bolted to the side of the building. It was about 100 feet high. The station itself had 3,000 watts of power, and the transmitter was what Vic called an old antique. But Vic told him that before he could make this commitment, he'd have to go to the board, and he says, "Well, I understand you have to get official approval, but here's what we'll do. I'll give you 2 weeks on the radio station, and you can talk to your board of directors during that time, and if they say no, well," he said, "you've had 2 weeks of free broadcasting, but if they approve it, of course, you'll be able to continue on the air." Well, the board did approve that, and sure enough, they began broadcasting then from WBON to WTOS radio, and were on that for a time. And after a couple of weeks, the board was very impressed at response that was already coming in, and they continued on. Well, after a time of 8 hours a day and 7 days a week, Mr. Perthel began thinking. He said, "You know, I really should be getting more than $500 a month for this," and said that "I would like to, we need to change that fee arrangement, and I would need to start getting $1,400 per month for this airtime." So Vic began weighing options once again and saw that for that kind of money, getting just 3,000 watts of power with a tower that was only 100 feet high on the side of a gas station building really was not where he was getting his bang for the buck. And so he decided that this was not going to be the best arrangement, and he became familiar with another station, WMIL Radio. Studios were not too many blocks away at 26 in Wisconsin. And Vic went to see the owners, Mr. Saul Radolf and Gene Posner. They owned WMIL. And so they were Jewish men. And Vic explained exactly what he wanted to do, to have that block of time and to purchase that time. And they said, "Well, if you're not anti-Semitic, we'll be glad to let you have that airtime." And Vic said, "I want you to know that the very best friend I have in the whole universe is a Jew. His name is Jesus Christ." And they had no problem with that and signed a contract for a year. So from WBON to WTOS, now it was to WMIL, but the broadcasting was able to continue on the air. Now they had 25,000 watts of power, 8 hours a day, 4 p.m. to midnight, and the youth were volunteering, and things were going very well. Until, after about a year, unions were becoming a factor. And so the kids had been doing all the volunteer positions, keeping the station going and running the programming, handling the phone calls. Counseling was going on when people would call on the phone. And Mr. Posner said, "We'll be glad to sign another contract with you, but the union is insisting that they do all the programming. You can bring over your box of stuff," meaning the programs. "They'll put it on, they'll answer the phones, and they'll take care of it from there." And Vic said, "That's just not going to work out." that's not going to work out. We need to have the youth involved in this and be there to counsel people and answer phones. And he said, Gene, he said, I don't feel this is what God would have us do. He said, well, where are you going to go? Vic says, I don't know, but this is not the solution at all. And so they had about a month to go on the contract yet, and Vic was praying and still would not consent to the arrangement that had come in. And so then it was winding down from 3 weeks to 2 weeks to 1 week, and still there was no clear answer from the Lord as to what was going to happen. And then the days started ticking down, and he hadn't told the young people. He didn't want to have to break that news to them. And it was just 3 days of the program left before we'd have to go off the air. And all of a sudden, one of the original owners of WBON, Mr. John Derringer, called Vic up and said, how are things going, Vic? Now, Vic had not told him what was going on. This was confidential, this information that had been happening. And Vic said, well, it's interesting you called. He said, it's interesting because we've only got 3 days left on our contract, and we don't know where we're going to go. We have nowhere to go at this point. And John said, well, that's exactly why I'm calling you. He indicated that I was wondering if you'd be interested in coming back on our radio station, but we don't have much interest in the main channel. They were actually using the subcarrier signal, and they were providing background music for stores and so forth, and we don't have interest in the main channel, so propose that if you would be willing to come back, I'll hire you for $1 a year, and you can be the program director, and you can run the programming for 19 hours a day, 7 days a week. So on the last day, they went off WMIL, had just a few days remaining, and said, this is our last broadcast on WMIL. Tomorrow, tune us in, 107.7 WBON Radio. That was 1964, and the continuing miracle just kept on rolling on, back to WBON. And continued from 1964 to 1968 doing that. In 1968, found the owner of WBON came and said, you know what, we really have interest in selling this radio station and thought we'd give you first right, first opportunity to purchase the station. The price we're looking for is $315,000. Now, in today's market, that would be quite a bargain. But back then, it was a whole lot of money, and didn't know where that money was going to come from. But he said, tell you what, if you could raise $78,000 for a down payment, we'll carry the loan, and you can be making payments on it. And the Lord provided that $78,000. And in 1970, they consummated the sale of that station for $315, and now WBON was owned and operated by Milwaukee Youth for Christ. The call letters were then changed to WVCY, Wisconsin Voice of Christian Youth, and to mark the faith of these young people, to mark the ministry that was going on with young people, and so the call letters WVCY were chosen. Here is the very first studio. This is a very young Vic Eliason in the studio and doing the programming. Here he is sitting at the console. As time went on, a building was needed to host the rallies that were going on, to host the Singspirations, and the ministry as a whole. So a bank building was purchased at 2712 West Philippe Street. This is not how that street looks any longer here today. But there was a bank building. It got an arrow going down at the building that was available for sale, and it was acquired for $20,000. We're still using that building today now for television. Television wasn't even a thought patterns at this particular time, but this building was purchased, and that was another miracle how God provided this building for that reason, for that purpose. But when the building was purchased, it was 27 feet from floor to ceiling. A second floor was being put in to accommodate the rallies and things, the upper level, which we now use for a TV studio, but was used for that. And they had a general superintendent who came to oversee this building project, a man who his name was Eldred Heinschmidt, but he went by the name of Pinky. And so Pinky was the contractor, and he said, you know, this is a very weird organization, a very strange organization. He said, normally when I take on a job, I'm given a budget, and then I go out and buy the materials for the things that I need and you know, do the project. He said, but your organization, I have to tell you what the need is, and then you pray about it, and then somehow it comes in. He said, I've got one for you here this time. He said, you see these openings in the ceiling? He said, I need a product called Tectum. Vic said, well, what is that? He said, well, it's a wood fiber that's soaked in Portland cement. It's rigid. It's very light, but it makes for some good roofs, and it's got to be exactly 4 inches thick. He said, we need enough to fill in all these spaces, so it needs to be exactly 27 and a half inches wide, or it's not going to fit. Now, see what you can do with that. Well, Vic was scared silly when he got that that word from Pinky, and went to the back to the storefront and said, Lord, this one's for you. Vic went on the phone. He called the National Gypsum Company, asked for the vice president in charge of sales, and they said, well, that's going to be a Mr. Price. And he answered the phone, and Vic said, Mr. Price, this may be the most unique phone call that you've ever received. And he explained that he's from Milwaukee. We're building this new building that's going to be ministering to young people. And we need a product called Tectum. Mr. Price said, yes, we make it. Vic said, well, in case you had an overrun or some mill ends or something of that nature, we are looking to get some at a very economical price, and we'd sure appreciate what you could do. He said, well, since you're a nonprofit, we'll see what we can do. He said, what's your phone number? So Vic gave him a phone number, and they hung up wondering, will I ever hear back from this guy? 20 minutes later, the phone rang. It was Mr. Price. Mr. Price said, you're right. This is the strangest call I've ever received. I just called from where he was in Buffalo, New York, to Toledo, Ohio, where they have a warehouse. And he said, for some strange reason, I can't explain why, they have an order that was duplicated, and they're at their warehouse on shipping skids is more than enough linear feet to meet your needs. But he said, the peculiar thing I can't understand is exactly 4 inches thick and 27 and a half inches wide. He said, if you'll pay for the shipping, we'll donate it to you free of charge. Vic got back in his car to go over to see Pinky and said, Pinky, it's on its way. You see, the continued miracle continues to happen. God's continuing miracle in his provision. So this is the building, pretty much like you would see it today, on the outside of the building anyways. And the vault was transformed into a radio studio, the vault of the bank. As a matter of fact, when Faith and I first started recording the Kids Talk radio broadcast, we actually had a little studio inside the vault that would go in and record the Kids Talk programs and onto the reel-to-reel tapes and provide those there. A tower was needed, though, to microwave the signal from Valete Street out to the transmitter in New Berlin, Wisconsin. And how are we going to get it there? But one day, Channel 6 called Vic and said, Vic, how would you like a tower? We have a 160-foot tower. We'll sell it to you for a dollar. All you have to do is come and take it down, and it's yours. Well, the Lord provided that tower, and so it was taken down, re-erected at 2712 West Valete Street, and that tower is still serving us today. Another miracle happened in applying then for a TV station. The FCC had granted an application, and the Lord provided a transmitter from Channel 10, an old transmitter, and that application was granted by the FCC for television. And when Vic went to the FCC, they said, well, we've got a Channel 30, we have a Channel 58 available, we have this available. And Vic said, well, 30 sounds good. And so applied for Channel 30, and they gave him a sample application of somebody else who had filled out a TV application, and come to find out it was a fellow who was a born-again believer who came alongside Vic and helped him to fill out the application. They submitted it, and when the application was approved, Vic said to the engineer, we got the application. They said, well, it's kind of like getting a baby elephant. What do you do with it now? You know, because they had never been engaged with television broadcasting or anything before. And so one of the things they had to do was the Channel 10 donated a transmitter for them, an old transmitter that they were no longer needing. And again, the phone rang. And it was a fellow who said, Vic, do you have somebody to move that transmitter? Vic says, "No, I don't." He says, "Well, I'd like to volunteer. I will see that that transmitter is put up and operational for you." And come to find out, it was an engineer who had run that transmitter for many years, well familiar with it. And he indicated, he said, "I want to do this for the Lord. This will be done as a volunteer and no pay for it." Vic indicated there were over 1,500 wires and cables for this transmitter, but God provided once again as that continuing miracle happened. This is an older picture of our TV 30 Master Control Studio. This is Marvin Tinsley, who operates as control room operator. And we are in the midst now of even acquiring a different automation system for utilization there. In addition to that, this is Josh McLean, who is our TV producer. And Josh has been with us here a number of years and makes sure that we have the InFocus program operational on Monday evenings. Josh has gone through some physical challenges here of recent. And Lord willing, tomorrow night he's going to be back in his seat at the control studio for Channel 30's InFocus program. Okay, so this is where I am on Monday evenings. The InFocus program. This is Steve Austin, who has been involved in the Mount St. Helens expeditions and a geologist. And he was with me on one of the broadcasts, just a random one of the guests that we've had on the program. Lord willing, tomorrow night, Pastor Jim Scudder is going to be coming up, and he's doing a series that he'll be launching on his TV program starting next weekend, looking at the rebuilding of the Third Temple and all the instruments that are being put into place for the Third Temple. So he'll be talking about that tomorrow evening. New radio tower was needed. Here you can see them raising a tower. They're taking down an adjacent tower that was next to it. And then there was something else that came about, and that was talk radio. One day in the 70s, Vic was operating the radio station, making sure that there was not dead air and everything was operating smoothly, when the telephone rang and a woman said, "Mr. Eliason, are you aware of what's happening in Milwaukee Public Schools?" He says, "Matter of fact, no, ma'am, I'm not." And she says, "Well, unless you tell the people, God is going to hold you accountable." Well, this kind of stuck Vic to the heart here, knowing the responsibility that this lady was placing upon him. And he said, "Ma'am, just one moment." Now, when they had put in radio studios, they had hooked phone lines in to someday take calls on the air, but they hadn't utilized them before. And so he just faded down the music and then started talking. He said, "Ladies and gentlemen, there's a woman that we have here on the phone who's very concerned about what's going on within the Milwaukee Public School District. Ma'am, would you go ahead and tell the story?" And so she told the story of what was going on, and that was the very first talk program, the very first radio broadcast dealing with some issues that was going on, and it turned into a regular program then that Vic called Open Line. Open lines for people to call in and talk about the issues and things that were happening and how they could be salt and light. That was going on into the 70s when TV 30 came on the air in 1983, combined that talk program together and called it In Focus. So In Focus was live 7 nights a week, but it was carried both on television and simulcast on radio at the same time. Later, after a series of changes took place, that we changed the name to Crosstalk and gave its own identity of Crosstalk, its first broadcast being in 1987 on September the 8th, and just had a significant anniversary for Crosstalk last year. Turned 35 years old. Today, this is a studio that it comes from. This is where I'm sitting in the chair every day at 2 o'clock. Across the glass there on the right side is where Karen is sitting, taking phone calls and screening the calls from people that are calling into the program. But the program goes out to just over 125 different outlets across the country. That building on Valete Street was outgrown for the whole of the ministry, so in the late 70s we acquired this building, which is our main headquarters at 35th and Kilbourne. This was a Spencerian business college that went out of business, and they were requesting $1.3 million for the building. We, VCY, offered $700,000, and they accepted the offer and acquired the building. Today we continue to operate from this building. This is our main broadcast hub now for radio. And then in 1986, we had two stations on the air, WVCY Milwaukee 107.7 and the Tomah Station 98.9. I was in January of 1986, just a year after joining the VCY staff, had some meetings with Vic, and we started laying out what would happen if we started satellite and broadcasting our signal over satellite. And it looked like there would be some additional stations coming into our family, one out of Fort Scott, Kansas, one in Gregory, South Dakota. And so we started lining up programs and looked at what it would cost to put up a satellite uplink, and learned that the cost at that time would be $65,000. So we had a one-day share-a-thon on the air, starting early on the radio and inviting people to give toward this special project that we had. And by the end of the day, all $65,000 had been committed, and we acquired the satellite uplink, the big dish that was necessary to get our signal out to start serving stations that came on the air. The satellite went live in 1987. Today, these are the radio stations that VCY owns and operates. Not just WVCY FM Milwaukee, WVCX Toma, but you can see the litany of other stations throughout the state of Wisconsin, in other places. And as we go on the list, these see kind of put in order by a number of these stations coming in on the last part of the screen there. But we praise the Lord this past year of 2022. We saw a station come on in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, right in the Metroplex there at KVDT, your Christian Voice for Dallas, Texas. That's what it stands for. And then also in La Mesa, Texas, KVLM, your voice for La Mesa, Christian Voice for La Mesa, KVLM. And we thank the Lord for these opportunities to put these stations on the air. Every one of these stations is a miracle, and we praise God for that, and every one, to God's glory, is debt-free. Tomorrow, I've already signed the papers. They're in escrow, but tomorrow there is a station out of Bronxville, New York, that will be coming into VCY's family, reaching into New York City. This is going to bring somewhere close to 12 million people that will be under the signal of that brand new station. It will be WVBN, your Christian voice for Bronxville, New York. And we're praying that everything technically goes well. The installers were there on Friday with internet service going in there and providing the way. We have an engineer on site right now that is working and prepping for that to take place. We'll know tomorrow further if that actually all is connected and getting signal through in that regard. But you can be praying specifically about this station for Bronxville, New York, and having the opportunity to minister there. Lord willing, 1 week later, on the 14th day of February, we have also a station that we've been working on in Rapid City, South Dakota. And the FCC has already approved the conveying of that signal. And we are looking forward to being on with this. This would be KVPC, your Christian voice proclaiming Christ. And looking for this signal to go on the air. Over 2 million people a year go into just to Mount Rushmore alone and have the opportunity there to spread the good news. Beyond this, we have a number of translators as well that VCY is ministering through a number of locations around the country, some 25 translators, 58 different broadcast signals in all. And again, we can only say this is God's continuing miracle, all of this coming about. Here you can kind of see the footprint of VCY because there not only are these stations that we own and operate, but there are a number of stations that will come on to affiliate with us. Some will pick up the Crosstalk program. Some are taking Music Till Dawn. Some will take some of the other broadcasts that we have as well from VCY, but it kind of gives you an idea as to the programming. There's even a station out of Africa picking some things up from us, but here you can also see down in the Turks and Caicos Islands a station that rebroadcast our signal there. But it all started with a 30-minute daily radio program and has gone to actually now a worldwide ministry. On the left here, you see Karen Swierczynski. They're at the switchboard. And Karen has a number of tasks, from morning receptionist to graphics to processing donations, call screening for crosstalk. Little time to twiddle her thumbs. On the right there, we have Sandy Ruggles. And Sandy, in the mornings, is usually getting some research ready for crosstalk, getting stories ready for the program. And afternoons, she goes and operates the switchboard. This is Cheryl Tipton, serves administrative assistant, has a number of tasks that she performs on a daily basis, a number of projects, and running off the donor receipts and being sure that those are handled and taken care of. A couple other staff, I don't have our entire staff on here, but several full-timers. Here we have Dalton Windsor on the left, who is our operations manager. And this is Justin Without Whiskers here, who is our assistant to the operations manager. And we praise the Lord for our full team at VCY America. Also, here's Dennis Morgan, who operates our master control on the first shift, Monday through Friday, and he's taking readings there at the transmitter. Dan Ruggles is also pictured here on the right. And again, our team there, Tracy Harden, is ministering the all-night hours. Somebody is at the VCY control room 24/7, 365 to ensure Christian programming is going out. These are a couple of people that are special to us. Paul McLean is on the right. He was our facilities manager for some 40 years, and Paul just retired this past July. And his sidekick, Jeff Cunard, very much a blessing to us. And it was the plan that Jeff was going to step into Paul's shoes and take over the facility management position, that we find somebody to come alongside Jeff and work. But the Lord had other plans, because it was last year, 2022, January 24th, in the middle of the workday, God called Jeff home. And Jeff went home to be with the Lord. He is sorely missed by his wife and family, but by our team as well as VCY. He was such a blessing to us. And so the prayer was, Lord, what are you going to have us do? Who are you going to have fill these shoes now? And the Lord provided two gentlemen. This is a father-son team. We have Nelson on the right. He's the son who's now our facilities manager. His father, Isaac, has come along to serve with us as well. And these are two wonderful men who the Lord is using in a way as well to keep our facilities operational. And God in his providence has provided those for us. Here's a picture of some of our automation from our early days in VCY Master Control. Everything was reel-to-reel tape or on cartridge tape, and these machines. It was just kind of fun to watch. Our employees had a load list, put this program on this number machine at this time, and if they did everything they were supposed to, everything played as would be expected. But every now and then, instead of putting through the Bible on machine 7, it went on machine 8. And so we had something else that happened at that time, and then it was quick to make those operational. Today, now, all of our programs are run through a computer automation. Here's Dennis again in the control room, and the computer sets behind him. And our system on the left that runs WVCY-FM, we have a similar system on the right that runs the rest of the network. But our ministry has branched out into places we never dreamed possible. In 1986, and I warn you, this is a much younger picture, but in 1986, my wife and I connected with Vic and asked if we would be able to do a children's birthday club, have a birthday club. And he gave us the names of Uncle Jim and Aunt Faith, and we had a special time where we invited kids to send their birthdays to us and be a part of the birthday club ministry. And it got underway, and we launched the Kids Talk radio program, its first broadcast being the first weekend of January in 1987. And after some 36 years of broadcasting the Kids Talk program and the other responsibilities on my plate, we said, it's time to make a transition. And we're so grateful for my son Aaron and his wife Amber, who are taking over the responsibilities now as Uncle Aaron and Aunt Amber. This is a night that we were actually doing a joint recording. So Faith and I were at the studios in Milwaukee. Aaron and Amber were at Trail Ridge. And we were actually interviewing them and just acquainting the listeners with Aaron and Amber. And so they are now broadcasting the Kids Talk program. They took that over here at the beginning of 2023. We have volunteers that come in, and this is a room they come to prepare the mailing packets for the VCY Birthday Club. We have a number of young people from around the world. This map doesn't have the measles. It indicates where it is that we have had response for the birthday club from children that have learned about it and want to be part of the club. And so we have packets going out all over the world. We have a major problem right now, and that is a war that's going on with Russia and Ukraine. And so the mail service has stopped all mail service to Russia and Ukraine. We actually have thousands of kids that live in these countries that are part of the Birthday Club ministry. But until things let up, we cannot mail any packets to Russia, Ukraine, or to Belarus. And so our prayer is that that door of opportunity would open up very soon. We also operate the VCY Bookstore and Outreach Center, 10707 West Capitol Drive. And isn't it ironic that address that we had been given there, 10707, similar to our radio frequency, but we're so grateful for Rick Bach and Ryan Cohan, who operate the bookstore ministry and have faithfully for many years. We have rallies at the Waukesha Expo. Right now we're doing them in March, September, and October. And looking forward to these events. We've seen many people come to faith in Christ through the VCY Rally Ministry. Matter of fact, we just had an event that we co-sponsored with the crew of Patch the Pirate down in Dallas, Texas. And somebody came to the table indicating that they got saved at a VCY rally in Milwaukee when Patch the Pirate came. And what a joy it was to hear from them. But through the years, many have come to know Christ as Savior through this ministry of the rally. We're looking forward next month. Dr. Erwin Lutzer is coming up from Moody Memorial Church, pastor emeritus there, but speaker on the Running to Win broadcast. Also, if you listen late tonight, Songs in the Night will be on, and he's a speaker on this broadcast. He will be coming with a challenge that evening, and looking forward to that time. Dr. Richard Schmidt will be speaking at the September rally on Bible prophecy-related issues, but it's a great opportunity to reach other people for Christ. Trail Ridge Camp, another ministry, acquired a 385-acre campus back some years ago in the late 90s. It was a Bible camp that was operating this site and could not any longer keep it going. And the board of directors moved to go ahead and make an offer on the camp. And starting in 2001, family camp ministry began at Trail Ridge. This is Aaron, my son, his wife Amber. They're four lovely children. And Aaron is our camp director right now at Trail Ridge Camp. He's assisted by Josh Aldridge, who is a maintenance manager there, and his wife Amy. This is her son Hunter. And Josh oversees the maintenance. Amy helps out in just a number of ways. Sometimes there's piano playing or doing some of the layout for some of the camp materials, and just really a blessing to us. We also have a number of interns that help out at Trail Ridge as well, and they're a blessing to us. Trail Ridge is a camp that has been wonderful to reach young people with the gospel message, and now has been broadened to many other aspects of ministry as well. But every summer, we praise God for young people trusting Christ as Savior through the ministry at Trail Ridge Camp. We have a number of volunteers. It's our son Matthew. He's not really driving the golf cart, but this is a nurse that we had 1 week, a dear lady, Norma, who has nursed for some years at Trail Ridge. It's always an area of need. Every week of camp, we need a camp nurse, somebody to minister to the young people for their cuts and bruises or a twisted ankle, something of that nature. But we ask that you keep in prayer the needs that we have for volunteers at Trail Ridge every summer. Not only do we have beautiful sunsets at Trail Ridge, but after a massive downpour, this picture doesn't do justice, but there was a double rainbow that we had at Trail Ridge that was just beautiful. We always look forward to our Friday night campfire where testimonies are given through the course of the week. I remember at our father-son retreat here a few years ago, testimonies were being given at the campfire, and a man came up and he said, as I listen here tonight, he said, "I don't know Jesus as my Savior and I need somebody to help me." Some men just pulled him aside from where the microphone was, where they were giving testimonies, took him into a vehicle and led him to faith in Christ. This last father-son retreat this past October, we had a similar situation where it was at a breakfast table that men started talking to another man who was there with his son, first time at Trail Ridge, and one man was able to lead him to faith in Christ at the breakfast table one morning. I heard from another dad who indicated that at the fire, he gave his testimony of salvation. And as his son's ears perked up, didn't recall hearing his dad's testimony, and his dad was able to lead his son to faith in Christ as well. And we just thank the Lord for these opportunities. We've had VCY ministry trips. This one is to Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago. I listened to the Unshackled program, if you hear that. They do the presentations of Unshackled there. This is Phil Kwiatkowski then with a message. Ministry trips to the Creation Museum, to Ark Encounter. We've had some to the Washington, D.C. area, some of the Christian Heritage trips, and then also this is a trip that just came back from Charleston, going through Christian Heritage there as well, but many great opportunities. VCY Bible Institute, we have this as an online course, free of charge, different men like Carl Kirby, Reasons for Hope, Dr. Les Olala, several series that Dr. Jimmy DeYoung had recorded, teaching through Bible prophecy. We have the app. If you have VCY.tv or have the VCY app, there's a wealth of information that's available on it. We had started an outreach ministry where we send out 5 gospel tracts and 5 invitation to listen cards on a monthly basis to those who will hand them out. VCY Outreach, Karen oversees that project there as well. And again, it's been that which the Lord has used for the gospel, the word to be sown in the hearts of others. And certainly, as we see the aspect of VCY just shining the truth, shining the light of God's truth to a world in spiritual need. We just praise God for people coming to faith in Christ as Savior through the ministry of VCY America. This morning I shared about a 90-year-old woman who came to faith in Christ. A year ago, Palm Sunday, we had a 99-year-old woman that was near the end of her life, and she had caregivers that came to her home. And the caregivers, the one is an avid listener to VCY Radio and TV 30, and she went and she would put on TV 30 when she'd go care for this woman. That's a preacher. Turn it off. Don't want to see that. Well, on this Palm Sunday, there was a preacher that was on. And matter of fact, it was Pastor Bob Loggins from Calvary Baptist in Watertown. His program was on. And he had next to him a present that was sitting by the pulpit. And also his name was on the screen. And there were some tulips that were under his name, the lower third of the screen. And she said, what is that? Those tulips are beautiful. She was captivated. Instead of saying, turn it off, she wanted to know more. And then she said, why is that present there? And as the program went on, the caregiver said, well, that's a present that indicates salvation. Salvation is a gift that comes from God. But you can't have salvation unless you accept that free gift and explain the plan of salvation. That day, she was able to lead that 99-year-old woman to faith in Jesus Christ. Next day, the caregiver got a call from her boss indicating that woman had passed away. She was just shy of her 100th birthday, but called home to eternity. We praise God for her coming to faith in Christ. We've seen other testimonies from young people through middle age. I have a file full of such testimonies, but we praise God and we thank people like you for making it possible. People who are praying for the ministry of VCY, people who are giving to support the ministry that make it possible, people who are sharing the ministry of VCY with others. Indeed, it is God's continuing miracle, and we praise Him for what He is doing. We thank the Lord for the opportunity here again. Thank you for your patience tonight. But I just want to close with Romans chapter 10. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. That's the goal here at VCY, to take the gospel all over the world to a world in need. And we see lives that are being transformed every month. We have downloads from our website, our sermon audio site, anywhere from 80, anywhere ranging from 75 to 90 different countries around the world. And we just praise God for those opportunities.